Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward. Together, that's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's look at this week in the Capitol. A lot to talk about, J.R. Mm-hmm. Road to a flat tax.
Yes.
Ba-dip-ba-dip-ba-dip. Assembly Republicans rolled it out. Actually, they had, what, 30, 35, 40 of their members there.
Something like that.
Behind the speaker and Representative Dale Coinga. And they said they're offering a very complex plan that we will get into in a little bit of detail.
Sure.
Not great detail, because there's not enough time on the show for that. But they also said it is a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to about a minute of audio of Speaker Voss saying, we have finally got a starting point here, and then Representative Coinga talking about some of the tax changes that they would make if their plan became law, which is a big if. Let's go to that audio.
Today, Assembly Republicans are talking about a plan that we are putting forward that we hope will be met with open arms by both the governor and the Senate. But it's also a starting point. It is not an ending point. All options are on the table to try to find that long-term solution, but the plan put together by my colleague Dale Coinga actually says, here's a starting point that works.
We are tax cutters here. We are going to cut the gas tax. We're going to cut the income tax. We're going to limit the alternative minimum tax. We're going to cut property taxes. We're going to cut taxes. In fact, this overall package has at least a minimum of $450 million of tax cuts for the $300 million in additional revenue in the transportation package. And if you look in the out years, we have a very responsible path, which is less than inflation, that gets us to a flat tax in the next 10 years or 12 years from today, 10 years from then, the biannual.
Under this plan, revenues are increased and bonding is cut.
Right.
So instead of borrowing the money to do the exact same project that Governor Walker proposed, what Dale has in his plan is literally the same level of spending within a small variation of what Governor Walker does. All that we do is we are raising the revenues by expanding the base, as opposed to just adding on to the debt that the transportation fund already can't afford.
JR, let's break this into two components.
Sure.
Let's first talk about the highway funding part mm-hmm. of it. Then we'll get to the tax reform. So, first of all, we have a 30.9 cent gas tax.
Yes.
This plan would back that off by 4.8 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But it would extend our 5% sales tax to gasoline sales. Let's not mm-hmm. deal with diesel fuel, although we've seen the LFB numbers. And then you drop our minimum markup, which Coinga said is the second highest next to Minnesota, mm-hmm. from 9.18% to 3%. And that would apply, they hope, to keeping gas prices under control.
Yeah.
When I don't know if it was you or Greg Newman, what is this going to do to gas pump prices? You heard Coinga say, we think it'll stay about the same. You believe that?
Well, he also said, I can't predict what the market's going to do.
Right.
And part of the issue is how minimum markup works. Now, it adds a floor to gas prices, but there are these caveats in the markup that if the guy next to you is selling it for less, you get an exempt. You know, you basically ignore it. So you have this kind of ripple effect sometimes with minimum markup. It's very complex. Mm-hmm. It's very unclear. You can't predict for sure that if you lower from 9.18% to 3%, there's going to be a 6 cent cut on a gallon. That's not how it works.
Right.
So we don't know for sure how that's going to react. Also, what's interesting about this plan is it going to be a gas tax hike to Governor Scott Walker? Because remember, Walker has said over and over again, he will not sign a gas tax hike. Well, this cuts the gas tax, but it applies a sales tax to the gas. So does that count as a gas tax hike under Walker's parameters? There's enough wiggle room for Walker to, if you wanted to sign it and say, hey, gonna raise the gas tax, I'm good with this. But he's been saying over and over again, it is not now is not the time to raise gas tax. We have plenty of money with the reform dividend he talks about constantly
yeah.
for things. So that's gonna be a big hurdle for them to cut across.
And let's stay on this just for a second, because you and I read the LFB memo, and it says if you drop the gas tax by 4.8 cents,
mm-hmm.
and then you extend the 5% sales tax, the net effect just of those two changes is a projected increase of 7.2 cents.
On
now,
gas.
This is where Coinga says, we think lowering the minimum markup from 9% to 3% will offset that, right? Isn't that the basic math?
Slightly bigger increase on diesel, but LFB did not do a projection on what would happen with the minimum markup. So we don't have a study right now to tell us, or at least give us an idea what might happen. So that's going to be a big issue with this thing. Again, will it be a gas tax hike to Governor Walker? Because and Senate Republicans, because there are lots of Senate Republicans saying, I'm not going to sign on a gas tax hike. And, oh, by the way, we don't need to put more money into transportation right now. We got enough money as it is.
Okay, staying with highway funding, though, the goal of the COINGA package is to raise an additional $300 million to lower the governor's proposed bonding of $500 million. He wanted to borrow $500 million. Mm-hmm. COINGA, Voss, et al. Say this will bring that down to $200
million. Yes.
Now, those are the key numbers.
Well, $200 million, the caveat, there's also a piece of bonding
there's
in there,
$70 million
depending upon federal aid. But the bottom line is they're arguing that by lowering the bonding now, rather than taking the additional revenue and putting it into more projects, you free up money in later years, and you lower the cost, the long-term cost of paying off that money. So it's a down payment for future budgets. The issue is people like Robin Voss have said, I want 94 North South done. Dale King had talked yesterday. He wants 94 East West to get done. Right. There are other projects out there that people want to have finished. If you're not going to put more money into it, some would ask, what's the point right now? This whole idea is about getting more money into transportation. Do these needed projects, so why not do them now? Obviously, the answer for them is it's about the future. But there's still going to be some people jockeying for what can you do for me now, which leads to the other question of, well, what else could they do beyond this package? If they, big if, they accept this, they could also get ways to free up general purpose revenue to pay for borrowing for transportation costs.
But this, the COINGA Voss package, this doesn't speed up major highway projects from the budget that the Department of Transportation recommended in September, doesn't it?
No. Not what they explained it yesterday, no.
It's no huge ramp up of highway construction in this state.
And it's a long-term look. I mean, they kept talking about it's a starting point in this conversation.
Yeah.
Like it's a plan out there.
Right.
But tolling, for example, that's something going to happen right away. It's something that we've done in future years. So this is looking down the road. How can we get things in a better situation going forward?
Okay, and just as we wrap up this discussion of the highway funding part of it, they say I think there are 19 communities that have a wheel tax. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a wheel tax, local governments, in the future unless you pass a referendum. And then they get into this Milwaukee County. They void that unless Milwaukee County passes a referendum.
Yeah.
But they also let local governments, if they pass a referendum, have a half-cent sales tax for highway projects.
Oops.
But they cap it, the most you could have it.
Up to half a cent.
Yes.
There is a formula that you have to go through to figure out how much you would get. You could have approved for 4 years the first time, have voters reapprove it for 4 more years, but then you're done. So that would be an option that they could go. The interesting thing about the wheel tax is they craft the language, I'm pretty sure, exactly for Milwaukee County, because if you had it in effect before, great, but if you had it in effect in 2017, it had to be in effect before April 1st, that
and
kind of thing.
Milwaukee County didn't make that April 1 cut.
Clearly targeted them.
Okay. Now, I feel I've got a pretty good understanding of the highway funding component, mm-hmm. but I'm a little bit fuzzier on the tax reform, so let's turn the corner. First of all, we go to a flat tax, mm-hmm. and over a 12-year period, we would have 4 tax brackets and a flat tax of how much? What did Dale
3.95%.
say? 3.59%.
So go from the 4 down to 1, and the argument is it lower taxes for everybody.
Yeah.
But along the way, they would eliminate a number of exemptions that are fairly popular. For example, the married credit.
But not in this biennium.
Nope. The renter's credit.
Yes.
So if you own your home but you rent, you still get to get a deduction in your state taxes. That would go away. The first dollar credit, which lowers your property tax bill. There are lots of little pockets of money like this that to get to a flat tax, a simpler tax, he would eliminate these things along the way. The problem is, politically, you open the door to saying, okay, an ad could say, these guys voted to ding you on this, this, and this to lower taxes for the wealthy. Now, King and I would argue this is a better tax, it's lower for everybody, et cetera, but the door is open to that argument by doing this approach.
Well, and what about the purity of a flat tax? I think that's still unproven and unresolved in that building, isn't it?
It's a major conservative priority, goal to have something like that. The governor said he's open to the discussion about it. He's not committing to it, but open to that discussion. And if you look at the LFB memo, I mean, they're doing more work in this tax package. But in the first 2 years of this package, compared to what Governor Walker proposed, it would actually have $15.4 million more in income tax revenue generated. But over the next, through 2930, it's a $2.365 billion cut. So, okay, so that's obviously going to lower taxes for a lot of people. It also means less revenue for the state to pay for schools and pay for Medicaid and other things. So you could argue, if you want to be a supply-sider, that this will generate more economic activity, which will make up for the cut. But that's really to be seen. And it is a big price tag over a long period of time to do something like this.
So we make a down payment on going to the flat tax in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. We begin to eliminate, as you said, the first dollar credit. That's only $50 million of $150. We dial back the governor's proposed $87 million increase in the school levy credit, dial that back to $40. And we still pick up a sales tax holiday on, but just in 2018.
And in theory, you know, when you move, if you start to move toward a simpler tax form as well, flat tax, fewer exemptions, easier to fill out. So you could make that argument as well. But again, this is a very complex package, a lot of moving parts of marrying both transportation and tax reform together to try and get this deal done. It is going to be a heavy lift between now and the end of this budget process to make this work and get the budget.
And I want to come back to something you said. One credit that he does eliminate is, what's the proper name, the marriage?
Marriage credit.
Marriage credit. Now, if you eliminate that in this biennium, it has no effect, because the start date for the elimination is the next biennium, 2019 and 2021. When you ask a fiscal bureau, wiping out that credit, how much is that going to cost married people filing jointly? $264 million a year. That's a huge policy decision.
Now, then the question becomes, how are they impacted by the flat tax?
True.
And that becomes the trade-off. This tax goes up. This one goes down. How is it going to work in the end, and who's going to pay more?
Right. Okay. All right. Enough on the tax package, which we'll see how far it gets in this capital, correct?
Yes.
The governor today, your staff was there.
He was noncommittal, said he wanted to, out of respect for Dale, wanted to take more time to digest it before he comments on it, going to have his staff look at it more closely. But the key question for Walker, again, is this a gas tax hike under his definition? If it is, that's a problem for these guys, because Governor Walker said clearly he will not sign a gas tax hike.
Okay, new topic. I want to deal with what I think is the biggest environmental change that this legislature has now put on the governor's desk. Mm-hmm. This would grandfather in, I had DNR look up the total, 13,178 high-capacity wells. You define a high-capacity well as one that pumps 70 gallons a minute, and this would grandfather in, if you rebuild them, if you sold them, if you repair them, you do not have to get DNR approval. Mm-hmm. This is a major, major bill. It does give certainty to the vegetable and potato growers in central Wisconsin. It got the votes of three, maybe four Republicans from central Wisconsin, but Katrina Shanklin said no. Mm-hmm. So your take on this, no surprise?
No. Once Scott Fitzgerald, majority in the Senate, got on board with this bill and made it a priority for him, it was clear it was going to get done this session. The question was what form. Scott Krug, Republican, who has been very involved in this
working
issue,
on this for all 4 years he's been in office.
He got won over in part because there have these studies of various areas of the state to see how these wells are impacting water. He wants to know, for example, if a trout stream is, you know, less robust, can you pinpoint a well that is the blame? I mean, there are all kinds of factors go into these things, but there's a water quality or water issue for people who own homes along waterways saying, well, the lake that was a lake is now a mud puddle.
Yep.
What's going on? Can you attribute that directly to high-capacity wells, or is there something else happening? That's what Crew hopes we can figure out from the studies.
Yeah, and I want to end the discussion of this topic this way with some audio from the State Assembly. First of all, the issue you addressed, Assembly Democrats said, look, this bill was drafted and passed by the Senate. There was no Assembly stamp on this bill, so we just took one vote to approve what the Senate drafted. So first of all, we're about to hear from three Assembly speakers, Representative Krug saying, we made our changes by knocking on the door of Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald. You have a very emotional speech from Representative Shanklin, who said they didn't listen to the environmental concerns. And finally, the Assembly author of the bill, Representative Talkin. Let's listen to that Assembly floor debate this week.
I beat on that guy's door for months to get the opportunity to make an amendment to this bill. We worked with the assembly author. We worked with as many people as we possibly could to come up with language for an amendment to change the model and the hydrology studies that we're talking about in this bill. We had to beat down those doors. We got this amended. We worked through the Senate. We worked with our assembly authors here. We worked since the introduction of this bill to try to make something more scientific for a hydrology study. It's come to fruition through an amendment. So it is possible. The bill was amended from its original language. So we'll talk about the merits of that later, but there is a possibility to get bills amended if you put in the work to get it done.
I invite the authors of this bill to come talk to the people of the Central Sands to help you become aware of the real problems we're facing. It's insulting to watch legislators outside of this region talk about it like they know it. To the people of the Central Sands. I heard you. And I'm so sorry that we can't find a solution that works for all of us today, because it has been an incredibly difficult 4 years for you. Regardless of if you're a farmer, if you're a lakefront property owner, an angler, someone from the town of Rome or Saratoga. This has been a difficult situation, and I regret that people in this state have not been given the voice that they deserve within the legislature. The problem with this argument that I've heard from so many people today, that this is just procedure, this is just fine, Mr. Speaker, you have no idea how many people I've heard from who are so concerned about the future of our state, their grandchildren having access to the trout streams to fish in like they have. Please think of them.
You have to start somewhere, and I think people recognize this bill affects agriculture, it affects business and industry, it affects the municipalities, the golf courses, tourism. So we recognize that water volume is an issue in certain areas of the state. And we need to recognize, too, that manufacturing and agriculture are the big job drivers in the state of Wisconsin. And so I think by passing this bill, we're going to help those economic drivers and protect jobs.
Okay, JR, just a footnote on the high-capacity bills. We do expect the governor to sign it, don't we?
Oh, yeah, he's indicated he will. This will provide that certainty that we've talked about with farmers. They've been looking for this, so that's been a priority. Of course, like anything in Madison now, there could be a lawsuit. You never know.
Oh, sure.
And those studies will be key to see what's going to happen in those studies. What do they show?
And that lawsuit might open with the public trust doctrine, which is a big part of our Constitution. Okay, bills going to the governor to fight opioid addiction, $1 million for new regional treatment centers, $2 million to help counties treat drug and alcohol offenders, a charter school for 15 high school students who are fighting addiction, $500,000 to help medical professionals treat addiction, $420,000 to hire new officers to investigate drug trafficking, protections, legal protections for school volunteers and employees who administer Narcan. This is amounts to the third HOPE package.
Third package. I think we're looking at like 15, 17 bills at this point. This is basically, John Nygren's been driving this train now for a while. He has a personal connection to it because his daughter struggled with addiction.
Yes.
He has become the go-to person in the Capitol for this issue. I've been told it comes, when you want to work on something related to opiates, the question becomes, have you talked to John? Because he's the one where all those things go. It's really a credit to him and his effort, what's been going on. Now, it's also, some would say, a marked change for Republicans from where they were 25 years ago when it came to drug use of lock them up for the key. It's a much different approach. And if you're a cynic, you'd say it's because it's gone from being an urban problem to a rural suburban problem. But also there's the kind of thought that they've seen that that approach didn't work. And this is now kind of a new approach to things here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and to mention, to come back on the bipartisan issue, I think there was only one Senate Republican vote against one of these bills.
Yeah, and it was the
Senator Noss.
Recovery High School, and what Noss, that was the person who's been asked to kind of help set up this high school, has also been tasked with working on the achievement gap between whites and black, whites and minorities in Milwaukee and Madison. So you're distracting that person from that very important work. That's the only issue you have with the bill.
Okay. Then you had Republicans also drafting a package of bills on homelessness. Mm-hmm. Some of that, $75,000 for a community to help help the homeless get jobs. New state coordinating council that will be chaired by the lieutenant governor. You would let WETA provide case management. New flexibility in how state grants provide housing. The Democrats, JR, said this doesn't go far enough. But isn't this a start on this problem that you and I see on every street and tragically in all of our cities?
But that's part of the problem or part of the divide between the two parties. If you ask Democrats, they'll say, where were you guys before? And why are you doing A, B, and C in addition to this? And that becomes part of the different approaches and how these two things work.
Yeah. Okay. Next topic. It's very telling how Joint Finance deals with some of their early votes mm-hmm. on the governor's budget. So let's just go through. It happened, I think, on Monday, didn't
yes.
it? Yes. The governor recommended do away with the Judicial Commission, mm-hmm. do away with the Judicial Council. And even the Chief Justice Rogan's Act said, I don't think that's a wise move. So they bucked the governor on that. Is that a big deal?
Well, same they did 2 years ago. The governor he's looking for efficiencies, he says. The commission is in charge of judicial, basically, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So if a judge has done something,
they investigate potential misconduct.
And then recommend punishment to the Supreme Court. Well, Governor Walker takes that commission and put it under the purview of the Supreme Court. And the issue is, how do you have the watchdog be under the people that are supposed to be watching? So there's that issue. The council recommends or advises the legislature, the governor, and Supreme Court about judicial issues.
Yes.
Governor Walker said, well, if you want to, hey, Supreme Court, you want to have one? Great, but you guys create it. We're going to do away with this. Again, the efficiency argument. But 2 years ago, proposed the same thing. Joint Finance Committee said, no thanks, we're going to pass on this. So when he pushed in this budget this time, it was no shock they killed it this time, too.
Right. The Judicial Commission looks at potential misconduct by our 249 Circuit Court judges, 16 Court of Appeals judges, and 7 Supreme Court justices, mm-hmm. potentially. The downsizing of the Employment Relation Commissions from 3 to 1, big deal?
It's hard to know. The casework, how's that going to, the case load, how will that be impacted? Can they manage it? That's one thing to watch with that agency.
Okay. And then they have begun, Governor Walker recommended centralizing human resources functions, mm-hmm. grabbing those from all the state agencies and some IT and other administrative functions.
Human resources, payroll. What's interesting about the vote Monday was the committee approved moving some positions
from the Insurance Commission, right?
To DOA.
Yeah.
But said, okay, we're going to move them, but we're going to cut 2
yep.
out of, I think it was like 14 or 16.
You're right, 14 back to 12.
And Nygren, the co-chair John Nygren, said, if they want to create efficiencies, great. We're all for that. But if you're going to create efficiencies by moving people, then there should be fewer jobs at the end because you're supposed to be more efficient. So he kind of set the tone. The committee set the tone for all these transfers the governor wants that I would expect as we go through every agency where the transfer position is over to see reductions from the numbers of staffers as they make those moves.
Well, and it's interesting. When you look at the Fiscal Bureau summary, this would boost the Department of Administration add 418 jobs to the what's been called the Department of All.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also deferred, Chief Justice Rogan's Act had said our justices are not paid well enough. She'd recommend a 16% pay raise. They aren't going to get that, but they deferred on the 2% year one, 2% year two.
What Nygren said was that in the end, they're going to get somewhere closer to Walker than Rogan's Act. But they're still working on it. They also, the governor proposed a new procedure for judicial compensation, a new process of how it would be proposed. But that's all being put off until later on.
Okay, now let's read the tea leaves. The first actions by Joint Finance on the governor's budget, they're not going to hesitate to make some potential major changes, right?
No,
that's my takeaway.
This is low-hanging fruit. So my takeaway is this is getting through the agencies they can get knocked out quickly. DPI, corrections, Medicaid, transportation.
Yeah.
Transportation is one that I want to see. Where are they going to figure that out? Because they're going to save those to the end. UW, those are big drivers of cost. They're going to save them until the end, like they always do, and try and figure something out.
Right. Okay. Our 28th state symbol is going to be
cheese.
And it ranks right up there with our state insect, that'd be the honeybee, our state tree, the sugar maple, our state dance, the polka. We have a peace symbol.
Yes.
The mourning dove?
Which now can be hunted in Wisconsin, has been for 15 years. Remember that debate 15
yes,
years ago?
Yes, we can hunt the peace symbol. The American water spaniel.
Official state dog?
Yes. This official state fish?
The muskie, right?
Muskie and, okay, quiz. Fossil.
I know the shape of it. I've seen the blue book before, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Trilobite.
Okay.
Rewind is on that. okay, your stock picks, my friend.
So rising Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan needed this vote on the health care bill this week. It is a victory for Paul Ryan because in March, remember, they were going to go to the floor with the bill and pulled it last minute. There's all kinds of questions at the White House about Ryan's leadership. So Ryan delivers, gets the bill through by the skin of his teeth. But the question is, at what price? So Ryan may have saved his job as Speaker, may have saved his reputation with the White House, may have paved the way to do tax reform later on. He also may have, though, endangered or put in the crosshairs several dozen of his members for
those
next
moderates,
fall. Yes.
The Tuesday Club members?
For next fall's elections. What's going to happen there? And the other thing is, he may have put him in danger with the bill going to the Senate, and who knows what's going to happen over there.
Yeah.
So it may be a short-term victory, but some long-term pain. But Ryan needed this. He needed to deliver on this bill.
And we should also point out all five Republicans in the U.S. House from Wisconsin voted for the package, and all three Democrats voted against it.
Yeah, interesting, Mike Gallagher was, who you don't think is in any trouble or shouldn't be vulnerable next year because won by 25 points. It's right. A Republican district. He's raised a lot of money. He was silent on that bill before the vote. Now, back in March, he said if it had gone to the floor, I would have voted no. But then he voted yes on this one. So why the change?
Yeah. Okay. Mixed.
So Dale Kayenga. This is Dale's MO, to go big, to be a big thinker, and put something big out there. The problem with big things in May of a budget year are that those big things get picked apart. They are a heavy lift to put in the budget. It's a heavy lift to get everybody on board. And, oh, by the way, I didn't see any Republican senators standing next to Dale yesterday when this package was released because they seem to be of a different mindset of they want to free up general purpose revenue from this checking account so they can pay for borrowing to pay for roads and this checking account.
Yeah.
I am not sure right now if Dale can get this through his caucus, through the Senate, and to the governor's desk. That is going to be a very heavy lift. I remember a few years back, Dale also had a tax package introduced right on the same time. Went over to the press corps and got briefed about it. Another heavy lift. I don't think the full thing got done. This kind of fits his MO. So kudos to Dale for thinking big and outside the box and going bold with something. But the process, I mean, the Senate wasn't brought in. He shopped it around to groups last couple of weeks to get their input. His own members weren't clear what was in there. They had the first taste of it yesterday. So some of them were unhappy about that. And there's all kinds of, like, how did you, Dale, did you do the right thing in how you approach this package?
Speaker Voss alluded to that. He said all the members that were behind, some of them have specific problems with individual pieces of this package, but we decided to put something on the table in the interest of trying to move the issue forward.
So where they end up, when I've talked to people, it's kind of the bet has been that they'll do something more like the Senate wants, where you free up some general purpose revenue, pay for some bonding, but find some pieces of the Dale Kayenga package that help the Assembly say we have our stamp on this budget as well.
Okay, last question on your mixed. Dale Kayenga, with this package, more or less likely to run for the U.S. Senate?
Good question. He's tied up with the Finance Committee right now. So how does that play out? Leah Vukmir, who is the senator in his Senate, his oversees his Assembly District, she's looking like she wants to run for U.S. Senate.
Yep.
Might he move over to run for Senate for her? I mean, there are all kinds of moving pieces on this. But what Dale can sell out of this is, I am a big thinker. I go outside the box. I am not just somebody here to toe the line and that kind of thing. So,
okay. Falling.
Corrections. So we are heading toward another record.
Yes, 23,200 inmates.
Something like that.
Yep.
So
we are 30% over design capacity.
That's
I've just
right.
been doing some work on that.
So how do we address that? There is a bill that's been circulated to try and replace the prison in Green Bay. By having a private prison built or allowing a private prison to be built. We both lived through the last private prison built in Wisconsin with Stanley. It did not go very well. It was a little bit of an ugly debacle, I would say.
Well, the CCA was out there wanting it. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
We had to spend millions to retrofit the prison up to code, all that kind of thing. But anyway, This is going to put pressure on the corrections budget. If to house these folks, how are we going to meet the we're already short of guards, meet the overtime? I mean, it's just a ripple effect to the corrections system. How do you address that? Now, you can tie it back to some of the problems we have, the opiate problems that we have. They're looking at diversions, trying to find alternative sentencing for people who have drug problems, get away from just putting them away. But this is going to be a pressure in the corrections budget going forward, and it's going to be an issue for lawmakers how to afford this stuff.
And the average cost of caring for a male adult inmate in a prison is $31,000 a year. The average cost of caring for a female adult inmate is $38,000. So there's lots of money. And finally, trivia, the DOC budget for contract beds is going to go from $18 million to $27 million in the next budget. Mm-hmm. Oh, I better stop. I'm getting dangerous. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for May 5.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.